afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, January 11th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
Well, gold had a pretty nice day today. It was hit hard early in trade, came back to 1199, pulled back a little bit to 1192, and we're looking at up 370 at 1192. So a nice day, nice showing for gold today. Silver was down 5 cents today, but it did have a roller coaster day. Also, we had a low of 1640, came back quite nicely, $16.80, again up 0.05. Platinum was down 6 today at 976. Palladium was down 10, 759. The USDX today was also down 0.20 at 101.82. Crude oil recaptured its losses for the past couple of days, at least a little bit of it. 1.36 to the upside at 52.18. And the paper markets today, they're going to try to make the 20,000. I guarantee you they'll make it on the 20th. This month. 19,953 for the Dow, up 100 points, up 98. The NASDAQ, another record, up 11, 55.63. The S&P, up 6 at 22.75. The 10-year yield, 2.37, down 0.01. And the Euro was 106, up 0.18. European markets, Asian markets were pretty much flat for the day. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs here at Discount Gold and Silver. We got those great pricing on Silver Eagle, so give us a call. Again, 800-375-4188. Those are your 2017s, and today is Wendy Wilson Day. It's Wednesday, and we always enjoy having her on Wednesday's program. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al. Thank you for the intro. That was so sweet. I thought today we'd talk about kidneys for cash, because we've mentioned this before, but this thing is not going away. There's increasing talk about a marketplace where people could sell healthy organs and be compensated for them. In the March 2016 Journal of the American Medical Association, they published some research on the possibility of compensating organ donors. So the study was specifically looking at options for the most popular organ transplant in the United States, which is the kidney transplant. So Medical Science is reporting that organ donations are down by 14% compared to just 10 years ago. So organ transplant surgery, pretty much in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and selling organs will increase the number of transplant surgeries that are done, so the medical industry would make a ton of money. So currently there are strict laws on the organ donation and even the harvesting or procurement of organs, and this is to prevent the medicine from operating what is called an organ commodity market. But some physicians, like Dr. Marco Del Charo of the University of Hospital in Stockholm, Sweden, states that, hey, the political climate and the regulations need to catch up with public perception regarding selling body parts or compensation. I think a lot of this has been desensitized with the revelation of what, you know, they're doing with aborted fetuses and selling body parts there. So a lot of people think it's no big deal. But it is kind of scary to me. The thought that some physicians hold the position that everyone should be an automatic organ donor. Have you heard this, Al? Melanie?
Yes, I have. In France, they've just passed laws that essentially mandate that people are automatic organ donors in France. That just happened in the last week or so.
Wow. Well, here's a quote from Dr. Christine Tovis. She's a trauma surgeon for the Medical and Dental Association. She says this: there's a huge need for organ donation and transplantation, and methods exist to increase the donation rate, such as people would be automatically an organ donor unless they opt out and say no. And organ donors who are identified by their driver's license should be held as, quote, an advance directive, which overrides family consent. And the presupposition of transplantation says that if a patient needs an organ, they should get an organ, and those who have organs should provide them. And this would repackage organ donation from altruistic to obligation. End of quote. I just, my mouth dropped open when I read that.
Yeah, I know. I know, it's just scary. You're obligated. Somebody is going to be obligated to give up a kidney or whatever to help someone else. And there is, that is such a slippery slope that you look at it and go, oh my God.
I know. I mean, it's like you're obligated to help. So anyway, here's a quote from Dr. Jeffrey Campson. He's a surgical director at the Kidney and Pancreas Transplant Center at the University of Utah Hospital. He says this, a survey by JAMA, which is the Journal of the American Medical Association, stated that if we were to give you $10,000 for a kidney, would you be interested? And most people said no. But when we offered $50,000, their interest went up. He says the fact is people die on the wait list, and this compensation is all about increasing the organ pool. End of quote. But here's the thing. Most people don't understand. Dr. Tovis and Dr. Kempson, you know, there's a cost for harvesting these organs, and who gets to pay for that? Do you know?
No, I don't. But well, I'll bet you it's not the doctor.
Absolutely. So let's say your Uncle Jerry is an organ donor and he dies, and so they're going to harvest his kidneys. It's going to cost $65,000 to harvest.
$65,000.
Right. $65,000 to harvest a set of kidneys, and the bill goes to the family, who donated the organs. So it's not the dead guy, it's his family who pays for this. Now, organ procurement or harvesting...
The family that's donating the organ pays, right, 65 grand for the privilege of donating a kidney?
Right. Yeah. People don't realize that when people sign up on their driver's license to be an organ donor, how it's going to just really burden whoever's left to deal with it. Organ procurement can go up to as high as $130,000 depending on what you're cutting out of somebody, like a heart, lungs, or pancreas or something. So the more technical it gets, the more expensive it gets. So now that's the procurement end, which the medical industry gets paid to do. And then the transplant part. So let's say Uncle Jerry's kidneys are going to go into a motorcycle accident. A guy, very young, 20-something, he needs new kidneys. $270,000 the motorcycle guy will pay to have the new kidneys installed. So you see how much money they're making on kidneys.
Yeah, I see that. When you say he's going to pay that, he's not going to pay that, I guarantee. He's not going to pay it.
Right,
if he had $270,000, he probably wouldn't be out in his motorcycle in a Mercedes or something like that if he had that much cash. The insurance company's going to pay it, which means the taxpayers are going to pay it.
Yep. Well, there was an article in Science Daily that reviewed statistical evidence that, get this, there's a race of people with organs which offer a lower risk of rejection. This study was at the Henry Ford Hospital Transplant Institute. They offered some very stunning information on the rates at which organs are rejected by the body after they are transplanted. Dr. Rahul Pandey was a lead researcher on the study, and she showed that there's this disparity on patient survival, which seems to stem from a race factor. She says they found that kidneys from black donors offered a lower survival rate compared to kidneys from other races. So the statistical information was analyzed from a very large national database called the United Network of Organ Sharing. And Dr. Pandey said she also found an earlier study that also looked at race as an effect on survival rates. And she said the study mentioned the donors of race affect the graft failure rate, so that non-black recipients which get black donor kidneys have a higher failure rate. So Dr. Pandey states 12% of the kidney donors in the U.S. are from African American descent. So why is this information significant, Melody and Al? Can you tell me?
Yep, because black people probably don't get very many kidneys if they need them. And if white people are getting kidneys from blacks that have a higher failure rate, it seems to me there's a problem here.
Okay, that's one angle. But the other angle is this evidence suggests that kidneys from black donors have a higher risk of transplant failure, and therefore, if medicine wants to build a registry of organ donors, it will not be from what medicine decides to be the, quote, donor race. So if you're mandated to cough up a kidney and you're black, it's not going to be your kidney they come for.
I don't understand what you're saying.
The donor race is not going to be black.
Okay.
So if they're building, you know, transplant registries and wanting to do more of these transplants, they're going to be coming to non-black people for organs.
Well, I get that. I understand that. And there's people who need the organ are going to, I mean, recognizing this problem, anyone who needs a transplant is going to be very reluctant to just take whatever comes. Here's a box with a kidney in it. Yeah, but what race did this kidney come from?
Right.
I would like to survive a while longer, not just have my relatives cough up a couple $100,000 to get a kidney that's not going to do me much good.
Well, you were talking about other countries now, like France, mandating organ donation. But according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine and the National Institutes of Health, there are plenty of other countries which are legalized selling organs for compensation. And actually, they're marketing travel to their country, not just regular tourism, but as a health transplant tourism industry. So if you need a kidney, you can't get it here in the United States. Here, come to Turkey, come to Iran or Russia or South Africa. We'll fix
you. What about China?
No, China does not do kidneys for cash. They do not accept the compensation thing. I think they just, you know, if you're a prisoner, just take it from you there.
Yeah.
Now, if you ask the health and political officials why these countries have decided to legalize the sale of human organs, they state this: the lack of donors and the rise in transplant need have forced regulatory change. Now, the European Union tried to implement a European-wide donor card to help standardize this organ donor industry. And you asked about China. The countries which perform the most transplants right now are the United States and China, but both countries still have these strict regulations on organ donation and procurement, and it's illegal to buy and sell organs. So the ethics of all this is kind of contentious right now, and some argue that if it's legal to sell blood plasma, sperm, human eggs, bone marrow, rent a womb for surrogate births, then why not sell an organ too? Now, the World Health Organization, though, opposes compensation for organ donation. They feel that a commercial enterprise of this nature would be quickly corrupted and it could have favoritism issues of which the rich would exploit and preclude the poor from getting a transplant. And in 2008, the World Health Organization said this: the role of commercial transplantation surgeons has been described in the British Medical Journal as rotten jobs, which consist of harming a poor person and saving a rich one. Wow.
Okay.
I know. Well, I know we're running out of time quickly.
No, we still have 4 minutes left.
Okay.
We're good.
Well, now, the National Library of Medicine and the Institutes of Health also conclude there's a lot of pressure right now in the United States to legalize this organ compensation mechanism and to continue because of the demand of the need for organs. And, of course, when legalization does come to the United States, it's anticipated it will be, you know, some tight regulations on it. The choices will be to either increase the compensation amount so people will, you know, decide to give you an organ, or they're going to mandate donation, as suggested by Dr. Tovis. What's your bet there, Melanie Al? What do you think they're going to do?
Oh, they'll give you compensation, but it won't be probably a fair price. My guess is they're going to try to give you $10,000 while they charge $150,000 to make the transplant. I mean, there'll be a compensation rather than just yank and say, okay, buddy, you're about to have a kidney extracted.
Well, what about, you know, when they want to take land and there's a home on it and they want to, you know, buy your home, but they don't give you as much for it. So I think it's going to be kind of like that.
That's what I think, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing is, but
eminent domain is now extended to your bodily organs.
Right. Well, and the thing is you know, you've got downtime, and you have the risk of an infection yourself, so you could actually die from this. And here's the thing people don't realize is, why do you suppose we have the number one transplant as being kidneys? Any idea?
Well, that's one of the things I was wondering about. We have perhaps a rising need for kidneys because we're doing something wrong with our diet, or perhaps pollution, some sort of water or
soda
air
pop.
Pollution.
Soda pop?
Right. Well, Axe, you're both pretty right there. Our kidneys are very sensitive, as you said, to sugar and alcohol, but some prescription medications also destroy the kidneys, like antibiotics like vancomycin and Cipro, analgesics, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, regular aspirin, other pain medicines, prescription laxative, heartburn medicines, blood pressure drugs, arthritis drugs, bipolar disorder drugs, anticonvulsants, the dyes that they use in medical tests like MRI, CT scans, the chemo drugs, and of course illegal drugs like heroin and methamphetamine. And yes, diet is another factor, obviously with all the sugar. So these are the most widely prescribed and over-the-counter medicines used in the United States, so we're actually killing our kidneys and needing a transplant, which is totally insane.
Do you have any idea how long a transplant is likely to remain effective on average? If you get one, is it going to cover you to the end of your natural life expectancy, or are we looking at 5 years or 10 years or some years?
That usually depends on the person's lifestyle. You know, they have to clean it up their act. Anywhere from 10 to 20 years is what it extends that person's life to. So it does give you significant, you know, life extension, but you're on those immune suppressive drugs the rest of your life too. So that's expensive. That's like $200,000 a year for that.
Whoa. Wow.
200 grand a year, and that is coming from who? Not the victim, not the guy who's got bad kidneys or whatever. It's coming from the public one way or another.
Well, yeah. And so
I'm assuming that's true. Isn't that true?
Insurance premiums. Yeah, you bet.
Well, and it's getting increasingly harder to get qualified for a kidney transplant. I know of several people that were turned down in their 50s and 60s. So
because they're too old? Reasons?
One woman was given, the reason was because they asked her to walk from point A to point B, and she didn't walk it fast enough. That was her reason for being turned down.
Well, it sounds like she needs arch transplants rather than kidney transplants, but
just about
give us
time.
Some contact information.
Oh, well, absolutely. There's some organ cleansing kits that can help protect your organs if you'd rather skip this transplant part. The number to call for more information is Apothecary Herbs at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. Thank you. See you next time.
Thank you, Wendy.
It's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Give her a call. We'll be right back on Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I'm in a happy mood today. I don't know why.
You are, or I am?
I am. I am. Well, I always am, but...
Well, I'll put an end to that soon
did you,
enough.
Yeah, you always do by the third segment of the program. Hey, did you listen to our president speech last night?
No. President, actual president or president-elect?
The actual president. His last...
Obama, yes.
I missed it. I started watching it for about... first 5 or 10 minutes, and I was just about ready to go to sleep then, and I couldn't stand it anymore. I tried because I thought I have something to talk about for today's program. Do you know what's really interesting though? And I know Trump did this and coordinated his news conference the day after Obama's speech, because there ain't no one talking about his speech. I mean, you can't even find anything. Any
Obama's speech is,
he's history, man. No one is talking about Obama. I saw one little headline that said, you know, he mentioned himself about 75 times in what, a 45 minute period or something. And and an applause to Mr. Trump to taking him out of the news. And I tried to watch Trump's press conference today, but there was just a little too much hoopla in the beginning. He had some guy talking, then Pence came out. And it's just like, if you're going to have a press conference, just come out and start talking. But there was a couple, so I didn't get to see it. I was doing a radio program this morning at the same time that he was talking. And he did say that as far as Russia... He says, as far as the hacking, he does think it was Russia.
Obama says this.
No, I'm on to Mr. Trump. Follow along. Yes.
I'm trying to keep up, Melody, but you know I'm getting old.
Yeah,
so you're,
I know. I'm sorry.
Speak a little more slowly so I can kind of keep up.
And I'm not going to give you my kidney. No.
You may not have a choice, you know, Melody. You may not have a choice.
To keep you on the air?
Yeah.
No, this is now we're talking about the press conference with Mr. Trump. As I mentioned, you know, there was a little too much hoopla in the beginning. He should have just came out, but he had this one guy talking, then Mr. Pence came out, and then I don't know if there was anybody else, but during this briefing, there was basically 10 key moments that he talked about, and he did say that he believes after his briefing on Friday with the intelligence officials that Russia was behind the effort to hack his election opponents. He says, as far as hacking, I think it was Russia.
Well, I've seen another report just today where somebody else is speculating it was actually Israel. Right?
They're not
saying it's true. That was from Ms. Shedlock, and he's not saying it's true, but he's saying there is some evidence to suggest it might be true. And on one level, that wouldn't surprise me.
But
Israel is almost famous for using deception as part of their art of war. And if they could get something that would influence the election in a way that they thought was a good idea and blame it on somebody else like Russia, I'd say the Israelis would. Yeah, they'd say yeah.
I wouldn't doubt that. Possibly that Israel Yeah, I mean, they're always involved, but somehow, some way, some form. Maybe. But I'm talking about the press conference and what Mr. Trump is saying. He thinks it is now Russia. So he believes whatever he was told, he believes, and he is coming out and saying he thinks it was Russia. So either the intelligence officers or officials got to him and said, no, this is what happened. You need to tell the people. Who knows? But I believe he believes. Anyway.
I've seen another report where Trump has been, the CIA has sat down and showed him essentially a file on him that was allegedly acquired, accumulated by Russia, right? And they've been watching Trump for some time, and they described the file as salacious, which I think means this is evidence that Mr. Trump has not been, he has not followed the biblical principles when it comes to sexual relations. So it may be that, Trump found out they're Russian watching him too, and he has responded and said, that means they must be bad guys.
Well, he does mention something in here, but I just want to touch one more thing on here. He also says, but you know, he says later in the news conference, Mr. Trump wavered slightly when pressed, but you know what? It could have been others also when he was asked why he had been so critical of American intelligence office officials. There was also, again, you're right about his behavior, but he had made a comment that when he travels, he makes sure he is not followed by cameras.
Sure that I'm not being recorded by the CIA, NSA, and the rest of that melody.
He says anytime he goes
abroad. The probability
abroad,
is that if they want to record you, you're going to be recorded.
He says this moment, he says he swatted away allegations that he instructs aides that any time he goes abroad to ensure that there are no cameras spying on him. He also added, apparently referring to a detail in the report about supposed sex videos with prostitutes, he says, I'm also very much of a germaphobe, believe me. You know, so...
We're all germaphobes. One thing or another, but...
He also goes on in his press conference and he talks about that he would not divest from his vast business holdings as he takes office. Instead, the president-elect will turn over the operations and control of those holdings to a trust controlled by his eldest sons, Eric and Donald. Trump also, there was something else I thought was interesting in there. But he's also taking Ivanka off. I can't.
Off what?
Off of the business.
Okay. So he has political plans for her.
I think
that's
so.
The implication.
I'm trying to find.
She's going to step away from the business. She's going to play a more political role. That's the implication.
Plus, it's her husband that is a top advisor.
His chief of staff.
No, his top advisor.
Well, yeah, top advisor.
He's not chief of staff, but he's top advisor to Mr. Mm-hmm. Trump, yeah. In which.
Which may explain why Ivanka is being pulled off the business,
He is also an Orthodox Jew, and she also converted.
Yep.
Just a little commentary there, folks.
There's another one that deals with something along the same issue of the Russians, and this is from antiwar.com, and the headline is NATO report. NATO, we're talking about. Blames Russia for populism worldwide. It also blames Russia for Trump and Brexit. A new report from NATO is following a
just
narrative.
Blame
trend.
Russia.
Everybody's. The Russians made me do
it. It's snowing.
It used to be the devil made me do it. Now it's the Russians made me do it. I knew. Yeah, it's snowing. There's going to be a big chunk of ice that's going to break off one of the continental ice shelves down in Antarctica. That'll be the Russians. They're up to it. They're the ones that do all this. A new report from NATO is following a narrative trend which began in the U.S. and has since spread across Western Europe, accusing Russia of being to blame for the rise of populism worldwide as an effort to undermine NATO and the European Union. The report blames Russia for the election of Donald Trump. They blame him for the Brexit vote. They blame Russia for the Brexit vote to pull Europe, or excuse me, pull Britain out of the European Union. It blamed Russia for the growing anti-European Union movements in several other Union nations, and they blame them for improving polling numbers in Germany and France for Eurosceptic parties, political parties, and that would be people who are critical of the European Union. Fits into the hysteria surrounding fake news in recent months with the idea that Russia is to blame for the rise in alternative media outlets which are not as supportive of the idea of globalism. Oh my God, Melody, there's people out there, the beasts, they don't support globalism. How can the 0.1% remain the 0.1% without globalism, Melody? It's already being set up to blame Russia every time a national election anywhere in the West doesn't go the way the center-left parties with France and German officials already complaining about the idea well ahead of their elections, just because polls are showing them not doing as well. The simple explanation, of course, is that many European Union citizens don't see the European Union as the panacea it was originally claimed to be. I mean, this is just ridiculous, but it's also dangerous. Right. On the one hand, you can sit here and you can laugh about it, insofar as the government of the European Union is also trying to paint Russia, tar Russia with a broad brush. It really does. It makes you wonder, are they lining up? Are they trying to set up the propaganda where the world accepts the idea that Russia needs to be nuked? I'm not saying that's true, but I'm saying this is not a good thing for the world to just blame Russia for everything that goes wrong. You know, if you fall down, you stub your toe, oh, it's the Russians. No, it's not. You know, I mean, this is just ridiculous, and yet it seems to be catching fire in the sense that, oh, one of the Nazis, I don't remember if it was Goering or who it was, might even been Hitler, I don't recall, but he said, you know, if you tell a lie that's big enough, public just falls for it. Mm-hmm. Keep repeating it. Until the public just buys it and they say, oh yeah, the evil Russians. I don't know. This is crazy times, dangerous times. I don't know what to make of any of it. It's hang on, pay attention, and, you know.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, you know, Mr. Trump always had this, you know, strong, you know, that, hey, we're going to get along, we're going to build relationships and so forth. And, he was asked whether he had a message for Mr. Putin. And Trump said he shouldn't be doing it. He won't be doing it. Russia will have much greater respect for our country when I am leading it. There's no reset button. We're either going to get along or we're not. And I think that's the first time that I heard him say it. You know, it was always, oh, yeah, we'll get along and blah, blah, blah. And now he's saying, well, you know, maybe we won't. But
well, that
he's
means
at least
to me is that the hackers are pursuing the file. All right? They're looking for whatever photographic evidence or video evidence they have of Mr. Trump, and we'll see if they can lay hands on it or not. But this has to be a big challenge for the hackers in the world. Get hold of those pictures, put them on the internet.
But there was one more thing that he said in his press conference today. He did mention that he would release his Supreme Court nominee in the next couple of weeks after he takes office. So I think that is an important one, and I'm anxious to see just who the lucky person is, or unlucky, whoever you want to deem it. But
maybe it's Ivanka. You think it'll be Ivanka?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know if she'd look good in those
Supreme long gowns. Yeah, it's probably not fashionable. Probably not fashionable.
But she might change that. You know, she could bring a little bit of style.
Bring some class.
Yeah. We could roll out the red carpet at the Supreme Court. We could have those people coming in and posing for pictures and the rest of that sort of thing in their latest gowns.
Well, you know, here's another article that I think is interesting, and I just saw it right before the program. Suddenly, home sale agreements are falling apart across the United States, and it seems nobody knows why. Gee, should we tell them why? But the share of sales that failed to close doubled in 2016. Trulia analysis of U.S. listings showed that 3.9% of homes that moved from for sale to pending moved back to for sale again, nearly double the rate in 2015. Such failed sales increased in 96 of the 100 biggest U.S. metros, with big swings in areas large and small, rich and poor. And this included L.A., Charleston, South Carolina, as well as San Jose and Akron, Ohio. In Ventura County, California, where the median home is about $548,000, 11.6% of the prospective sales failed to close in 2016, and that's the highest in the U.S. It's up 3.1% in 2015. And then Tucson had the second highest rate of failed sales. So it's interesting that we're seeing that people are trying to close and they're not getting financed.
Okay, there's the reason. It's not because buyers, per se, are changing their mind and saying, I changed my mind, I don't want this home, or sellers have changed their mind and say, I don't want to sell this home. They think prices are going up. Buyers think the prices are going down. You're saying this has to do with the banks not providing the credit in order to make the sale take place.
Well, they're saying they don't know why listings reverted from pending to for sale. But once you enter into an agreement, either you have problems with appraisals, the value of these homes are priced greater. I mean, there's a couple of reasons.
That's probably the primary.
Usually, people in today's world they have their financing before they start shopping. But we've had a recent look what the rates have done. At the 10-year yield since the election, the 1st of November, they went from 150 to 250. That's a big jump, and maybe a lot of people can't handle the increased rate if the rate wasn't locked in. Now
But you're talking about statistics that go cover the whole year, and it's unlikely that what happened at the end of the year has had much of an effect on those statistics.
Yeah, but I think we had the same kind of a thing happen the beginning of last year also. So again, it could have had an impact. So I'm thinking the combination of everything, low appraisals, home prices, raise rates, financing, I think they all probably had some sort of, but here's something else too. Homes built in the 60s had the highest fail rates, while sales of newer and older houses were more likely to go through. That would be an appraisal problem, I would think. Some 6.3% of sales of starter homes fell through, compared with 3.6% of so-called premium home sales. So the problem of failed sales has been more acute for cheaper homes and older ones. So, but it's interesting. You put all these things together, it's not good for the housing market. Particularly, we've seen applications drop like a rock, in the recent months, in the recent quarter. So, which is a relationship to the higher rates. So, they can't.
These are just another leaf in the breeze.
That they can't raise rates. And if the rates would go to 3%, I mean, they can't handle it.
We're going to take a break for a couple more commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Before you carry on, I just wanted to mention, again, we talk about the impact of Trump's election, of Brexit, of Marine Le Pen and France, a lot of other elections where we're seeing the voice of the people seems to be getting louder and louder. And this was out yesterday. It was a Bloomberg report, and it's Hungary. And it is cracking down on all of Soros's funded NGOs. Hungary plans to crack down on non-governmental organizations, NGO, linked to billionaire George Soros now that Donald Trump will occupy the White House. And this was according to the deputy head of Prime Minister Viktor Orban's party. The European Union member will use all the tools at its disposal to sweep out these non-governmental organizations funded by the Hungarian-born financier, which serve global capitalists and back political correctness over national governments. This is Szilard Németh, a vice president of the ruling Fidesz party, told reporters. Now, Bloomberg did try to call the Open Society Institute in Budapest, but the Bloomberg News had called outside of business hours. And, Soros is trying to stay in Hungary despite, the crackdown and so forth, but it's interesting to see it because a lot of these nations understand what George Soros has done to these countries. He goes in, he bleeds them out, and he makes billions and billions of dollars. He is the globalist of globalists. And, he's have done so much to destroy countries, and he becomes wealthier and more powerful. So I just thought that was an interesting headline. It's like, hey, so this is it's like a contagion almost. Now, whether it happens and so forth, regardless.
I think it may be likely to happen for this reason. I saw
well,
Soros
no, you
speaking.
Don't understand their power, but and who
no,
they,
I don't.
And
not their power. I'm talking about Soros' power.
And who they have in their little hands to keep things from happening. But, and.
Well, what I'm just saying is I saw Soros in December. Didn't see him personally, of course, but I saw a video of an interview by Soros. And the man was feeble. All right. It was clear to me that he was seriously impaired. Mentally and physically. I mean, his hands shook and he couldn't seem to keep his eye. He made some admissions that I thought were startling on the one hand, and I can't imagine the man making those admissions if he was hitting on all eight cylinders. So what I'm suggesting is that Soros might be near death. And I don't necessarily mean this week or next week, but I mean he may be at a point where he is no longer able to run his empire, and therefore the jackals are coming in and say, yeah, we can kick him, we can beat him up now, because he's too incompetent. Despite all his billions of dollars for sure to defend himself. He's no longer dangerous because he's feeble.
He's probably been grooming, educating someone or more than one to take his place and to continue their idea of what they believe the world should be. So, you know, I you eliminate one, there'll be someone there to replace them.
Yeah, so, it's like you know, judges and lawyers and politicians.
And it's funny
just
that
like
he's actually
whack-a-mole.
he's actually leaving at a time where he, when he was a child and what he did when he was young, we're almost at that same period of environment, if that makes sense.
No, I don't understand exactly what you're saying, but are you talking about compared today to the Great Depression?
If everyone, I mean, you have to know the history of Soros, and I'm not about to get into it now, but when, you know, he, you know, what he did in his youth at the time of war and everything, and how he made his millions, we're almost at that same point in time. Mm-hmm. In relationship to when he was young, and he's leaving at a time where it's, you know, it's almost like gone full circle. So,
well, yeah, you know, it's like there's nothing new under the sun. No. You know, they repackage it and they sell it again, but it's the same old baloney. Understand? They may sell it as steak and they may sell it as lobster and, you know, charge an arm and a leg for it, but it's the same old baloney. And there are only so many moves on the board, and you see it's complex, and sometimes it seems incomprehensible. But
and his you know, his organization, the Open Society Foundations, you know, that's not going away. You know, that's not.
You never know. It depends on who gets control and how much they want to leech off for themselves. And you know, Soros may have been able to hold this together for most of his life, but once he loses control of his billions of dollars,
it's not going to.
There
lose
are going to be
control.
A bunch of people squabbling for control, and we'll
it's just
see.
Like
who
the, it's
winds
just
up
like
winning.
The Rothschilds. It's just like, you know, the Rockefellers. It's just like the Rhodes. It's just like, you know, it's just like all of them. You know, their money went into, you know, the education, the promotion, to support their agenda through hundreds and hundreds of years. So they're a little clique, they're a little group, you know, unless God, you know, knocks them over.
He does periodically. They're all going to get it, you know. It's one of these things where you, in order to pursue the kind of fabulous wealth that you see with someone like Soros, you got to be betting hard and heavy that there is no afterlife. Bible says, you know, it's as hard to get a rich man into heaven as it is to pass a camel through the eye of a needle. But it says, well, God can do it. If God can do anything, it can be done. But still, it's difficult. And you get Soros. I mean, I cannot imagine that that man is going to heaven. Now, I could be completely mistaken, but I don't think so. And people like him, I think they have to understand that risk when they make the commitment of all the dedication, determination. They're going to take control. They're going to accumulate a fantastic fortune. I think they have to understand from the beginning that they're taking a certain amount of spiritual risk, or they have to be atheists to begin with. But day comes, you know, decades later, perhaps, when all of a sudden you realize, maybe I made a mistake.
Atheists or Satanists.
Yeah. I got an article here from Gains, Pains, and Capital. Just brief, couple hundred words is all it is. The headline is, the last time this happened, we saw gains of 429%. While CNBC and the financial media are pushing investors to buy the stocks going to the moon narrative, another asset class has just staged a once-in-a-decade breakout. That asset is gold. The breakout is a bullish crossover in which the 50-day moving average breaking above the 200-day moving average, right? And it's a rare event, but they point out this has happened only one other time in the last 16 years, and that was 2002, and that was the start of a major bull market for gold. Over the next 9 years, after 2002, gold rose an incredible 429%. Their argument, you know, is that we see the 50-day moving average crossing over the 200-day moving average, which means things are going up. Now, how much credence do we put into these charts, Melody?
You don't want to ask me.
Well, who else can I ask?
Well, I'll tell you.
Wendy's no longer plugged into the program right now. I mean, if I don't ask you, who am I going to ask?
I think the charts are interesting. You know, they're always, you know, it's always interesting to see if a trend is being developed. However, I mean, we've been here, done that. And it's just not in the gold market. Whenever you follow the 50-day averages and the 200-day averages and so forth. But we're dealing with rigged markets. We're dealing with manipulated markets. And we're dealing with a lot of politicalness, a lot of politicalness in that effect. So you can't chart that. I mean, you could...
Well, it's interesting because this has happened. Hasn't happened for 16 years or something like that. It is evidence that either somebody in a position of power is out to deceive us, or something significant has happened. Despite the manipulation, it's happened anyway.
Yeah. No,
what do you got? What do you make of it? Well, you make of it, keep your eyes open. That's what I think you make of it. And,
I think it shows how great gold has done. I mean, and how great it's going to do. And it is interesting to follow these the charts, but again, it's hard to chart a manipulated market. But
well, I know, because you're working with numbers that are not necessarily honest.
Well, they can be changed tomorrow by someone.
All right, let's see what else. Here, let me see. We've got an article here from Egon von Greyertz at Matterhorn Asset Management. Really a wonderfully written article. Not going to get into the whole thing, but the title is Black Magic Fraud to be Exposed in 2017. Gold up 300 times. All right, now, he's not talking about 300 times the price of gold that as it is today. He's talking about 300 times since 1971, 72. But the article itself is fairly long, but there is one section I want to read. Since 1972, there have been four major market corrections, all above 40%. After the first one ended in 1974, the Dow 570, the U.S. market has risen to a top of 19,987 just a few days ago. After every fall, the powers that be have applied their black magic. And what he means by black magic and or alchemy, they're printing money, they're spinning currency out of thin air. And he says this includes interventions by the Pledge Protection Team, interest manipulation and money printing, and many more tricks to get the market up. But for any stock market investor, this has been the most wonderful ride up into the sky. The market has gone, and we're talking about the equities market, stock market, has gone up a massive 35 times over a 42-year period. This is a compound annual growth rate of almost 9%. That means the average stock market investor has doubled his money every 8 years. A $25,000 investment in 1974 would today be worth $875,000 in the stock market. So stocks and bonds have been a terrific investment. But what about the barbarous relic called gold? This is the investment that most people don't understand, that the banks and investment advisors avoid at any cost. Well, this most hated investment has gone up 30 times in value since 1971. And remember that as opposed to the stock market, gold is far from the high which it was at $1,920 in 2011. At that point, gold had multiplied 55 times, all right, compared to its price in circa 1971. What he's implying here is that while the stock markets are at record highs, the equity markets are at record highs, he's implying that if the whole thing was running just on inflation, there's a high probability that gold would also be at record high. And he said, no, it's not. They know that. Gold didn't do as well over the 42 years as the stocks did. But it has gone up by 55 times, and he's thinking it's going back to the... It's going to hit that peak again. He goes on, he says, since 1999, the Dow is down 62%. Now, we're not talking about 72, 71. Since 1999, the Dow is down 62% against gold. Very few investors and no investment advisors know this, nor do they realize that the stock markets are in a long-term secular downtrend against gold. This trend will not stop until stocks fall by another 90% against gold in the next few years. That will take the Dow gold ratio down to 1 to 1 where it was in 1980. But more importantly, before the next gold bull market is over, gold will be up over 300 times since 1971. That's in today's money. That will give gold a price of $10,000 plus and a lot more in hyperinflationary money. Whatever the hyperinflationary money is, the gold will be even higher than $10,000. That's his prediction. He's not a prophet. He can't give us a... but the article, if you can find the article... again, I'll give you the title.
Well, we'll just put it in the new. I'll just reprint it in the newsletter and put it in the newsletter.
Black Magic Fraud to be Exposed in 2017.
But I mean, these. Yeah, I mean, these are great numbers, and it does show people exactly why gold is so important to have in your portfolio,
and why it's dangerous to trust your wealth to paper debt instruments. There is going to be a day of reckoning. And people are going to want to get paid on all those debt instruments, and who's going to have the money to pay it?
But they have conditioned the people to pay attention from day to day.
I know.
They don't want you to know about history. They don't want you to know about anything. They want you to follow from day to day, and that's it. That's the only way they can control you that way.
Well,
it keeps you from thinking. It makes you depend on them to give you the information, and they're only going to give you the information that they want you to have.
And they don't want you to have it because it's going to make you rich. They want you to have the information.
They want
you
to
contribute to them. And what is your wealth? It's your labor, it's your energy, it's your intelligence. They want you to waste it in ways that are conducive to the wealth of the top 1%, top 0.1%, and bad for you.
You're right. They don't want you rich. They want to be rich.
Of course. All right, folks, we're out of time. We'll be back mañana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Thanks for listening.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.